Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, April the 24th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes, Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars.
Please,
I've been very clear with you guys in the past.
Please.
We need the five stars. We need the stars, dude. And we're going to leave a
Who
link.
Who did you turn into?
I think that was Brad Pitt at the end of Seven.
The stars,
what's in the box? What's
in the box?
We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. But before we do anything else, I want to read the verse of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
It's time to read the verse of the day.
It's 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
This lets us No, and reminds us that God is not on the same playing field as we are. Mm-hmm. Yes, we serve a God who is intimately close to us, and we serve a God who wants to be involved in our lives, and a God who sympathizes with us because of Christ and his time here on earth. We serve a God who identifies with us in our struggling, but God is not on the same level as
That's
you.
Right.
Don't make that mistake. Don't reduce him to your level of understanding. God is beyond you.
Yeah, you think about God at his most foolish, most weakest moment, and there's poetic license there, of course, because we know that God has no foolishness. He has no weaknesses. There's not a moment. But what Paul is saying is even if you consider God at his absolute lowest, it is infinitely more than anything that we'll ever be able to bring to the table, meaning that his all-sufficientness, his omnipotence is unimaginable. It's complete, just like you said, it's completely next level, another scale, something that we can never, ever attain.
Yeah.
So it brings this sense of awe in us that this is the God that we worship, and it brings a reverence that when we approach God, we don't do so with fear, with fright, but we do so with, okay, I completely acknowledge that you are the king and not me.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a question today.
Mm-hmm.
I got the question that was written in today. Typically, you're the one that reads them, but
yeah, no, go
I
for
got
it.
A question today from Myron B.
Mm-hmm.
Myron wants to know, what's one food you absolutely can't stand?
How much time you got, buddy boy? I can
just one. Just
I
pick
can
one.
Wax poetic about a whole myriad.
Just pick one.
Mushrooms. Any sort of fungus on my food, anything I could find growing in the forest or growing out of some bathroom grout that I might would sprinkle on a salad. That's what y'all like. Okay. Yeah. You can have a mushroom.
I've never seen a mushroom growing in a bathroom.
100% when I moved into my house, we had mushrooms growing in the bathroom.
Mushrooms? Really?
Mushrooms.
Fungus, yes. I've never seen mushrooms inside.
Yes. Ellie and I had mushroom. That house sat for many years. And when we got it, there was mushroom between the floor and the shower. There were mushrooms growing up out.
No, there were not. Are you serious?
100%. I can call Ellie right now.
Bathroom mushrooms.
I can call her right now. Yeah.
I do like
people sprinkle that on their food.
I do like mushrooms. I like.
Ew.
Okay. I like mushrooms, but I wouldn't like them if they were in the bathroom.
What's a food you can't stand?
Beets.
Beets.
I hate them. I can't stand them. I've tried them many different ways. I'm willing to try stuff, and I'll continue to try stuff in the hopes that I would like it. Beets taste like dirt, and they taste like artificial dirt. Uh-huh. It tastes like somebody tried to remember what dirt tasted like and made it into a food.
I remember when I went to Israel in 2019, David was there. They had this restaurant that served, it was called Beet Ravioli. And I was like, well, I don't like beets, but this is the closest thing to pasta I'm going to get. So I could thought it was like ravioli with a creamy sauce and a beet filling. So I was like, maybe I can just kind of open it up and get the beets out and eat the pasta. No, it was straight up beets. It was ravioli made of beets.
Oh.
And I was like, oh man. I was like, well, this is my dinner for the night and I'm on the other side of the planet. So I may as well eat it. It was pretty good. I ended up liking it.
I'd be willing to try it. I am not a beets guy.
Are you justified in not eating something if you find out that something you don't like is in there? Like if I don't like onions, which I don't, and I'm eating a burger and I like it, and then someone's like, "Hey, I'm glad you like it because I put ground up onions in there." Am I justified in no longer eating the burger?
I mean, you can do what you want to. I don't think that's make or break.
But do you think the other person is right, is quote unquote right?
Well, let me ask you this. What is the motivation of the other person? I'm glad you like it because I put that seems a little devious.
Yeah. To be like, see, I knew you liked onions. No, I just
No, if you're going to bring that kind of energy, I'm definitely not eating this burger and anything else that you cook.
Yeah.
Because you're bringing that kind of energy.
Yeah, you always said you didn't like them, but you didn't even know they were in there.
Now, if they didn't know and they were like, yeah, I made this with blah, 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 and onions. And you're like, oh, actually.
Like, like if your wife had made me a burger and was like, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot you didn't like onions. It's got onions in it.
And you're halfway through the burger.
Yeah. I can like take the burger and throw it at the window.
No. Because she didn't, I mean, she didn't do it with malicious intent. Now, if she was in the corner plotting, like, I'm going to stick spinach in John's burger. It's going to be made of spinach.
I actually like spinach.
Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Like, it's not actual meat. It's just fake meat made of spinach and beans. Then that's a little devious. That's a different setup. But if it's like, oh, halfway through, man, I didn't even realize. I'm not usually a fan of onions, but I like the way this tastes. Mm. Maybe you've discovered something new about yourself.
Maybe.
If you're halfway through and there's no malicious intent, I say either finish it or just politely decline the rest of it.
What do you guys think? What are some foods that you absolutely cannot abide under any circumstances? Like mushrooms, I'm not going to eat them. I don't care if you're serving them to me and I'm being rude. I'm not going to eat the mushrooms.
Look, can I ask you this? Have you ever tried mushrooms?
No.
Or do you just like not like the idea of fungus?
I don't want to eat fungus.
Okay.
No, I'm not gonna eat a mushroom.
People say that about like blue cheese and cottage cheese too. Like I don't want to eat like spoiled milk.
No, cottage cheese is my jam. Blue cheese is my jam. I like both. I'm interested to know what you guys think though. What's one food that you absolutely will not abide? Text in.
Yeah, text in, let us know. 252-582-5028. We're continuing the conversation about Malachi today. There's so much in this book, so much to be learned from this tiny little book at the end of the Old Testament, but there's such a deep truth about who God is and who we are in light of that. We're going to get Dr. Shaw and bring him in to answer those questions in just a second. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and we'll be right back.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shaw's work. And that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David,
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shaw is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
Well, one of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shaw's website, abadanshaw.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text, 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if today is your very first time ever joining us on the show, we want to welcome you, let you know who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's episode. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshaw.com.
Dr. Shaw, welcome back to the studio today. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing well. Hope you had a very restful weekend.
No.
No? Well. Say,
restful weekend. Restful. Monday is the day to kind of recharge and rejuvenate. Weekends, not so much.
That's true. Yeah, weekends are kind of, it's kind of funny how in ministry that's like the big work, that's like the big push. Yeah. And then for everyone else, they're like, whew, glad I got the weekend off.
Do you have a recharge activity, something to kind of rejuvenate yourself?
Well, one would be for me is my devotional time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just sit down and I'll read the Bible and have my devotional book, meditate, think about what I've read, and then pray accordingly. And then I just take my time just kind of sitting there thinking through not necessarily writing things or checking stuff. Once in a while, I'll check some messages or respond to things that'll come to my mind or jot things down about things I need to get done. Mm-hmm. But then overall, I'm mostly taking the time just to reflect. Mm-hmm. And that's very important because people don't reflect. They just go from task to task. Mm-hmm. Or they get something in their minds and now they're driving forward to finish it. And they even accomplish it. So I'm not saying the people who are like that don't accomplish things. They do. But they all have a breaking point. They all have a place where now what? Mm-hmm. Or they get disillusioned or they snap or they just fall apart.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. So that time of course, Bible reading, devotional time, prayer, and then reflection, that helps kind of bring, you know, a sense of return to normal for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a resetting time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I do that. Another thing we do on Mondays, Nicole and I will get away, spend time together, talk, and we will then sometimes I will go look at books. She goes, looks at makeup, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
That's my time to, you know, bring back that equilibrium.
Amen. And we're continuing this discussion specifically about Malachi mm-hmm. today.
Yes.
We've been walking through the series through the book of Malachi, and it's a book that is slept on by a lot of people. People yeah. just kind of like gloss over it. Oh, it's one of the minor prophets. I'm going to skip ahead to Jesus. I want to get to the gospel.
I want to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The good stuff. Yeah. But Malachi is just such a fascinating book, and we've seen over the past few episodes, I mean, we've just been like just totally engaged in this conversation, as well as many of you at home have been writing in and texting, saying how much you've appreciated this, walking through these different issues surrounding Malachi, what God was doing, how he was interacting with his people. Mm. And today we are coming to a very sensitive topic for mm-hmm. people.
A lot of people don't like to talk about this one.
What I really want is like a soundbite of Mr. Krabs here from SpongeBob going money, 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 money.
Here, I got it. Here it is, right there.
Ding.
There it is.
That's what I. That's what we're talking
money,
about.
Money, money, money.
We're talking about money today, specifically about yeah. about tithing.
This is like that young preacher who went to this country church, and man, he was on fire. He starts preaching, and everybody's like, amen. Mm. And then this old farmer who typically wouldn't say a word, he was like, amen. And he talked about the sin of lying, amen. The sin of adultery, amen. The sin of gambling, amen. The sin of robbing God and not giving you tithes. He said, now, preacher, you're meddling.
That's too far.
Yeah, I think you took it a little bit too far. I was on board with all that other stuff.
Yeah, and then you start talking about money.
I don't know about that.
Preacher's meddling now. Have you heard of the dollar bill that met a $20 bill?
I have not. Is this another joke?
It's another joke.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, very
nice. This is the last one worked. I thought I'd maybe try this one.
Yeah, go for it.
So he hadn't seen him in a while. And he said, hey, where have you been? Haven't you seen you in years? So $20 bill replied, he said, I've been doing a lot of traveling, you know, been to the casino, been to the cruise, been on a baseball game, you know, been to the mall for Christmas shopping, fancy restaurants, beach, mountains, you name it, I've been there. I've been living the high life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he says, how about you, dollar bill? What you been up to? He said, same old stuff, church, church, church.
People only be dropping the $1 bill.
Yeah. Like, the dollar bill said, all I see is the offering plate.
Or that old, another one, you know, this is an old, these are all old jokes, by the way. I don't have new ones. It's like the father who was driving home from church, you know, he's all fussing about the music wasn't right, the lights weren't right, the preacher was not good. Nobody was right. And the son replies, "That wasn't a bad show for a buck.
For a dollar, man. we kind of got out ahead on that.
Yeah,
It's a lot. It's funny because I can feel a lot of people just tensing up in their seats right now. That ain't funny. They ought not to be joking about on the Cleveland today.
You never know what people make. You know, and it's just everybody's on fixed income.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I hear that a lot. And I get the point. People are on fixed income, but does that mean back in Malachi's days they were on unlimited income?
Right.
Right. Money just raining from the sky.
Yeah, you like, think these people who like came in from this like exile, they're finally back in their land. They're like, we're living the life, baby.
You think they didn't have a fixed income?
Right,
I think they probably did have a fixed income.
Yeah.
They had nothing. I mean, they just came back from Babylon, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, their lives were uprooted. You know, and they lost their ancestral homes, their properties. their family members died, mm-hmm. and then being dragged across to, you know, Babylon, ancient Mesopotamia, you know, that's where they are in a foreign land. And when God set them free and told them to go back, not many of them wanted to go back because, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, okay, we've done this once,
yeah.
and we've been beaten up on, and our brothers to the north fought against us and they got kicked out. We don't want to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want to stay right here. And some of them decided to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think God would say, you know, since you actually came back, guess what? No tithes for you. Don't worry about that. It's all paid off.
Yeah.
Because you are sacrificing for me. To the contrary, God is like letting them have it because they're robbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're robbing from God.
Yeah.
As I mentioned last time, you know, the book of Malachi is written like a courtroom drama.
Mm-hmm.
Where the people of Israel were on trial and God was their judge, their prosecuting attorney, their witness, their executioner. But don't think of this as just one-sided or negative, because God was also their public defender who was trying to negotiate a plea bargain that would greatly benefit them. Mm-hmm. So he was also trying to say, okay, we can get this right. There's a way out of this. Nobody has to go to prison. Nobody has to be locked up forever. We can work this out. That's mm-hmm. what God is doing in this situation. And he begins in verse 6 by saying, "For I am the Lord, I do not change."
Hmm.
So what does he mean by that? When he says, "I'm the Lord, I am Yahweh," he was reminding them of his covenant name.
Yeah, that same name that he gave Moses and that same name that he's always used for himself to remind them of that covenant, that promise that he made with
them. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, not O sons of Abraham or Isaac, but Jacob.
Mm.
What do you think, Jacob? You know, I mean, if you think for a moment, right? Abraham also had other children,
mm-hmm.
right? Ishmael, and then later on through Keturah, he had other children. Isaac also had Esau, through whom came the Edomites. But how about Jacob?
Jacob's children made up Israel.
Oh, yeah. Jacob's children were made up the 12 tribes, right?
That's it. So God, in a sense, is telling them that unlike the Ishmaelites or the Edomites or all the other tribes that came through Abraham's lineage, mm-hmm. they all had perished or vanished, but these people were still alive because he had kept his covenant. The Jewish mm-hmm. people are here, this one tribe. Maybe throw in a little bit of Levites and a little bit of Benjamites. The reason they're still there is because of God's grace.
That makes mm-hmm. sense. That makes sense, because you wouldn't include the ones who ended up going away. It's almost like the purest or the most, I don't want to say the most pure, the most holy sect of people. But I guess the ones who got it the closest, who are like, okay, now this is Israel. This is what makes up Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ever forget that you're here because of me in the first place.
That's
my
right.
covenant with you.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
when you think God would let up on them and be extra kind and gentle. And look, they were in exile. Look, their fathers died. And they are coming back to their ancestral home. Look, they at least came. Give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, listen to what God says in verse 7. "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them."
Mm.
Wow.
I mean, this is so contrary to yeah. what you would expect.
It's like when someone scolds you and you start listing in your mind all the stuff that you do right,
yeah,
or all the stuff that you're not understanding all of this. But when you're doing that with God, who knows it better than you do, knows the intricacies of what you go through and still is not relenting, is like something really,
that's right.
something's got to give here.
When he doesn't give them an inch there. He doesn't even say like, oh, they've lost their forefathers. They're coming back. They've come from exile. He says, no, even from the days of your forefathers,
yeah.
you've abandoned my ordinances. You've abandoned my
yeah.
laws. Your disobedience started well before right now.
Yeah. So the very people that you're glorifying, you know, your ancestors who died under Nebuchadnezzar and all, God's saying like they were thieves as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. Your granddaddy, your granddaddy's granddaddy.
Yeah. Mammy and Pappy, they were all thieves, every single one of them. That's hard to hear, man. Especially yeah. for like people who pride themselves on that lineage.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that special covenant relationship
That's
with
right.
God is so important to them.
Yeah. They came back. They're thieves. Like, are we gonna go find their grave, uh-huh. baby? We're gonna just like, you know, mourn and maybe build some statues for them. They're a bunch of thieves.
Yeah.
oh.
It's funny because like you think about it and it sort of reveals what you think about God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when that offering plate comes around, what do you truly think about God? Mm-hmm. Like this, is it really his? Mm-hmm. If it's his, then why does it hurt so much? Or why do I hesitate so much to put it in there?
That's right. And the answer is very simple. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Mm. And their answer is, in what way shall we return? What do you mean? What they're really saying is, we came back, didn't we? We did you a favor. We came back.
Yeah. Is this not enough?
Oh, y'all. Y'all.
Don't say that.
Bad move.
Don't say that. Especially to the Lord. That. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
It's like Fallout 4. Nobody liked that.
Nobody
Everybody
liked that.
Disliked that. And here's, I can hear some people just be like, did he say that to the Lord? Oh, come on, man.
No. And here comes the answer. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me.
Oof.
But you say, in what way have we robbed you? I mean, they had the audacity to say, what do you mean?
Mm. This is like quintessential like middle school response. Like, you did this. I didn't even do anything. Like, what do you mean?
I want you to pray. Anything. It's like, fine, dear God, thanks. All right, now you're in trouble. Well, I prayed, dude.
I did what you wanted. Like, I didn't do anything.
Trey Kennedy had a sketch like, what did I do?
Yeah.
In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings.
Mm.
Now, many of us know, though, that that word tithe, it means 10%. It is an old English word that means tenth. That's what tithe really means, is tenth. So if you ever wonder, tithing is tenthing.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I mean, tithe was your 10%, but I didn't know etymologically that's what it meant.
Yeah, it's tenthing.
Okay.
So it comes from the Old Testament, from the Bible, of course. There were three kinds of tithes. The first one was a general tithe of the land in Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. It is holy to the Lord. And where do you get it? Or where do you give it? Numbers 18:21. Behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting.
Mm.
So the money was being given so that the Levites could continue the worship, the sacrifices, all the work of the temple.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, we're not the temple, we're not the Levites, but we do resemble, in some sense, these offices. That's why we at a church, we work here, and people give their offerings and tithes, and we use that to support ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
This is a biblical pattern.
It's continuing the work and the worship for the good of the community.
Absolutely.
Right. So that the community can continue to gather and worship as well.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. The second tithe or kind of tithe is the eating of a portion of the tithe at the sacred meal when the first or general tithe was given. So it's the eating of the portion of the tithe at the sacred meal when the first tithe was given. In Deuteronomy 14:22, it says, you shall tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. We're talking about Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always.
So they would tithe. They would tithe all of those things, and then they would eat portions of it. Is that where the sin was coming in Samuel with Hophni and Phinehas? That they were eating improper portions of the tithe?
Yep. Okay. And they were almost, I mean, they loved meat. I think they were running a butcher shop, really.
Mm.
It's like all this choicest meat, right? The animals had to be perfect. And you're getting all the best cuts, the sirloins, the filet mignon, the New York strips, and they were selling them and making money off of it.
That that act that should have been an act of worship, that should have been an act of sacrifice.
It became a business.
It became a business venture, profiteering thing.
I see.
And then there's the third kind of tithe, which is collected every 3 years for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So the first tithe, of course, of the land, the general tithe of the land. The second is the eating of the portion of the tithe at the meal of the first tithe. And the third one is collected every 3 years. In Deuteronomy 14:28, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do.
Can you just quickly explain the Levite thing? Because I know there's something that the Levites are set apart. But what does that mean? He has no portion nor inheritance with you.
They never got the land.
Okay.
They were supposed to be living with all these tribes, and the tribes were to support them.
So they didn't have their own tribe of the Levites where they lived. They lived among the people in their tribes.
Yeah, they were supposed to be like pastors.
Okay. Yeah, if they were functioning as the priests, they would need to be scattered throughout.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And they would go to the temple. You know, eventually they would be. After Moses gave the law, eventually they were to go to the temple and mm-hmm. serve there mm-hmm. and come back to their homes. But then in time, you know, the temple fell apart, all this kind of craziness. So they were doing ministry right in their communities. Remember Zechariah, mm-hmm. who was John the Baptist's father? Mm-hmm. You know, he was going home and he came back and he got the call to be the next priest. Mm. You know, the lot fell in his name. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who was living up in the Judean mountains.
So this third type of tithe was to support the Levites who didn't have their own tribe, and then right. all of the fatherless and the poor, and this was collected for their benefit.
That's right.
Okay.
We gotta end today's episode, but stay tuned. We're gonna jump back into this tomorrow. If you guys have any questions or suggestions for new topics, though, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or if this episode raised some questions that you have, send those questions in as well. We'd love to know what you're thinking. Love to know what you're getting from the each week's episodes. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. Pray about how God would have you give not only to this radio show, but to reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus.
Amen. You know, we're talking about good food and choicest meats, but Dr. Shaw, this morning, Myron B. wrote in and he wants to know, what's one food you absolutely can't stand?
Well,
we've been talking about a food a lot on the intros.
I'm pretty easygoing. I'll try anything, everything. Mm-hmm. I've been to wild game nights, you know, in the churches. We're trying to do one here soon. We have a big fishing tournament coming mm-hmm, up. Mm-hmm. Not tournament. I mean, tournament is on the lake, but then all these fishing experts will be coming here and they'll be, we have a big conference mm-hmm. and you'll be meeting celebrities. But anyways, that's different. But been to wild game nights. I've eaten everything. Name it, raccoon. Mm-hmm. Rodents, whatever. I've eaten it all. I was in Mexico. Okay. This is up in the Yucatan. And we had just come back for lunch doing mission work, you know, up in the deep jungles of the Yucatan. And they had bowls of soup. So I'm like, oh yeah, soup. I went in there and chicken feet.
Oh no, 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 no. Did you like it?
The nice nails and everything.
I didn't like it.
And I was like, oh, if the nail foot of this rooster that I saw yesterday.
Did it resemble a foot? Like you could tell it was the foot?
Yeah, it was. You can pick it up and you can make impressions with it if you want. Oh, it was still good.
Man.
But at least should have taken a nail cutter to it.
Yeah,
or
I know,
something.
Right? At least
big old talons floating around in your
Give the chicken a pedicure or something.
At least a pedicured chicken in my soup would have been fine. So, but I, you know, the people, it tasted good. That's a funny thing. It was not bad. It just, I couldn't get the image of this rooster's foot in my soup.
Yeah.
Yikes.
No, that's rough. So, that's
but
rough.
I ate it. I threw away the chicken. And I remember one of my friends, and this is not like what all Mexican people eat. So please don't misunderstand that, because this is more in the village and this was kind of like, oh, it's a delicacy.
Right.
But I saw one of the guys from Cherumal, which is a more of a city. He looked at me. He's like, "You like the foot?" I said, "No." He said, "I don't either." I'm like, "Okay, right, I guess cool. We all agree."
Grab the foot real quick out of your bowl and just.
I said, "You want it?"
That's when you need one of those village dogs to come by. Like, "Oh, you're such a good boy."
Oh yeah, here, eat this real quick. Cool. Okay, no to chicken foot soup.
Yeah.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.